I'm Justin Boyd.
I'm Brittany Pacheco.
And I am assembled.
And we are the Watchers in the Basement.
Welcome to the Watchers in the Basement. We are here today to discuss, well, obviously not to discuss, but to celebrate the 5-year anniversary of Avengers Endgame, one of the greatest movies ever. And I'm pleased to be joined by Brittany, of course, and our good friend Drew from the North. This is gonna be a special one. So, but before I get y'all's thoughts on the movie and just the characters in general, I want to hit the audience with some Endgame facts. Avengers Endgame released April 26, 2019. It's the 22nd film in the MCU. It's the 10th film. It was the 10th film of Phase 3 and the 4th Avengers film. With a runtime of 3 hours and 1 minute, it's the longest film in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. The box office, a staggering $2.7 billion, making it the highest grossing film in the MCU. And for a while, it was the highest grossing movie of all time, from July 2019 to March 2021, until Avatar was re-released and took over the top spot. Still, very, very respectable showing, more than respectable, an amazing showing, $2.7 billion ton of money. Budget, about between $350 million and $400 million. So money well spent, if you ask me. Directed by Anthony and Joe Russo, a.k.a. the Russo brothers. And they get a lot of credit for this movie, and they deservedly so. But the writers of this film, Christopher Marcus and Stephen McFeely, also deserve a lot of credit. Marcus and McFeely, not only did they write Endgame and Infinity War, but they also wrote all 3 Captain America movies. So First Avenger, The Winter Soldier, and of course, Civil War. So they wrote some bangers, and you know, all of those were also, well, most of those were directed by the Russo brothers. So that was a very good combination for Marvel. And of course the cast, Robert, and then, you know, I'm not going to list every person in the cast, because the cast is like everybody in Hollywood, but I'll just talk about the main cast: Robert Downey Jr., Chris Evans, Mark Ruffalo, Chris Hemsworth, Scarlett Johansson, Jeremy Renner, Don Cheadle, Paul Rudd, Brie Larson, Karen Gillan, Jon Favreau, Bradley Cooper, Gwyneth Paltrow, and Josh Brolin. Now, Drew, I want to go to you first. What does Avengers Endgame, and just Avengers in general, what do the characters mean to you? What does this movie specifically mean to you?
If I could make a reference to a scene in this movie, as you're listing off all the A-list actors, I think of the scene when they're coming back, and I can never remember Doctor Strange's Asian friend.
Wong.
It is Wong. Okay, I was about to say Wang, but it's Wong. When you guys and you want more, I wanted to respond to that. You know, because the list. So Endgame to me, where I sit in my life, it was an absolute. You know, it was sad and happy, because you had 11 years starting with 2008 Iron Man, everything that came together. I for the longest time. Liked Infinity War just a little bit better, because I thought the interaction between Star-Lord and Thor and the Guardians was, and the dialogue, and they were all there, right, in the first movie. But what happens in this movie eventually changed my mind, and I know some of you on the podcast were actually jump with Honda forever in front of both of those. I have since, in my 4 watchings of this, to be ready for this, I've dropped Wakanda Forever below back to number 3, but it's still an amazing movie. But to me, it was the end of an era to the start of the next era. So it was a transition. It's kind of like, to me, it was like when you're either in high school or college, you think of all those 4 years you put together, the time, the blood, sweat, and tears, the love, and all that. And, you know, it's the ending of something, but the start of something new. So that's the best way I can give the analogy of what it meant to me. It was everything brought together. It was, you know, I'd love to live those moments over. You think about your college years, but then you got to go on into the real world and join the rat race. But that's how it meant to me. It was the end of something awesome, but the start of a new beginning.
Yeah. And Drew, for you, the Avengers and these movies are a family affair. And Brittany, if you wouldn't mind yes. Showing some photos we have from Drew.
I have the best family in the world. They know I love my Marvel superheroes. So, I mean, I get awesome things for Father's Day. And I do wear superhero stuff to work and around, because you know you dress for the job you want, not the job you have. So
awesome.
Yeah, and this was another Father's Day gift. As you can see, I still treasure this. This was 2019. I got this Father's Day 2019, and they got me, that was obviously from Infinity War the year before, but that hangs in my man cave. So
Very cool stuff.
Yep. And just my son and I, he's my mini me, he's my guy. So that's 2018, 2019. We got those shirts at the Meijer here in the Green Bay area, and it's what fathers and sons do. So my dad did it for Star Wars for me and carried on to my son Zachary.
Yeah, great. So thank you for saying,
thank you for sharing, guys.
Yeah, no, thanks for sharing this with us in the audience. That's very cool, Drew. Brittany, I want to get your take on this movie. What would you, when I say Avengers Endgame, like, what do you think of? And like, do you remember kind of seeing it for the first time? I mean, it was only 5 years ago, of course, but like, just what are the memories that come like rushing back when you hear Avengers Endgame?
A lot of memories do come flooding back, namely because we had just started our podcast in the same month as Endgame was about to be released. You know, we started it because we were so excited for season 8 of Game of Thrones. We're not going to talk about that. With Endgame, it was also the very weekend of my birthday. I was turning 30. It was a big momentous occasion, not just, you know, within the MCU, but, you know, me personally.
The universe.
Hitting the big 3-0, you know, it was like, whoa, this is a whole other level right here. And so I remember watching this movie for my birthday with my husband. And then eventually we Justin, Frank, and myself, we went to go watch it again on IMAX. And honestly, that was the best way to watch this movie. Like, it was just, again, a monumental moment in history. And watching other people's reactions was just as enjoyable as rewatching this movie again, because you know the big moments that are coming, and those big moments, of course, we're about to talk about in just a few. But getting to watch the guys sitting next to us and hearing their reactions and seeing just how excited they were, it was just like, this is awesome. Like, the very fact that this movie is bringing so many people together and sharing that same emotion. And it was a flood of emotions. I mean, you're doing this roller coaster thing from start to finish. And I didn't rewatch this movie leading up to this pod because I feel like I've seen it so many times I could probably quote it. It's ridiculous. But this movie for sure has a special place in my heart because of, you know, my coming of age to being 30 and getting to share this movie with some of like the best friends that I've could have ever asked for. You know, we worked together for so many years, but you know, we've bonded far more than that. We're friends. We're like kind of like a family in that respect. Yeah. You know, so it's a very touching movie, and it's one that I very much enjoy. It's a great movie, honestly.
Yeah, you know, thinking about seeing it in the theaters, I saw it 3 times, which now that sounds low, because I've seen this movie, I don't know, 25 times. I mean, I watched it 3 times this past week to get ready for this podcast. So I watched the director commentary, which I recommend if you're a super fan, like all of us, check that out on Disney Plus, or if you have the DVD or the Blu-ray or the 4K or whatever version you have. But I remember seeing it in the theaters and just how it was like watching a sporting event. Like, it was like, I don't know. It was like the best thing I think I've ever seen. Like, it was like super emotional, like Brittany said, but also like there's these incredible moments, which is why we're here. But I mean, not recency bias or anything, but this is my favorite movie of all time. And I think it is the greatest superhero movie and ever made. And we actually have a poll right now up on in our YouTube community. Go check that out. You can vote for Endgame or you can vote for other movies, but, let us know what you think is the greatest superhero film. I think it's this film. But, you know, this movie, I honestly think you could find something in every single scene that makes this movie memorable. And I truly believe that. I really went through it the last week or so. There's so much stuff. But, you know, because it's the 5-year anniversary, our gimmick today is we're going to give you the top 5 moments and maybe some honorable mentions. So we might fudge a little bit, but we're here to give you the top 5 moments. And that's a tall task, right? But I know we're up to it. You know, this is the fight of our podcasting lives, and we're going to win whatever it takes.
Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes.
See, I was going to go with, to quote Cap, I could do this all day.
But we could, though. We could list, like, I'm saying, seriously, like, if this was 50, the top 50 moments, I could easily do the top 50 moments. But we're doing 5 today. And, Drew, I want you to start us off. What's your number 5 moment from Avengers Endgame?
And I just want to add one thing, Justin. So I had met Frank the year before on a flight, and he kept in touch, and I got to become, I think, one of their very first fans, and I started watching because we watched that show with some dragons and some things going on. But their Endgame podcast, if you guys get a chance, go back and see it. It's amazing. It really is. And I was a new fan to this group, and I'm like, these people, I'm like, Brittany rocks, and Justin and George, which is, he's just awesome too in his own way. So, and Frank too, but you know, it's really great. If I could mention one thing, so both Infinity War, just a side, you know, I'm a super fan of yours, I'm a super fan of the MCU. Both Infinity War opening Thursday and Avengers Endgame opening Thursday, I went at 4 o'clock, and then I went again to the next show 3 hours later. I just walked across the hall and I saw them both. I went the following Friday, that was Thursday, and then I took my lovely on Friday night, and I took my daughter on Saturday. So I saw it 4 times on opening weekend, and seeing it back to back was just awesome. So I just wanted to share that.
No, I want to jump in real quick, Drew. Like, I appreciate the plug. So if you have not seen our first review from 2019 of this movie, it's, if you're watching on YouTube right now, it's in the description below. So check that out when you get a chance after this airs. Check that out because we have costumes. We have a very special surprise at the end. You definitely want to watch the end of the, I would say for sure watch the beginning, definitely watch the end. But I mean, hell, it's only like an hour.
Watch the whole thing.
I think you'll enjoy it. But we really went all out. Yep. This is back when we were in the studio all together. So anyway, Drew, give us your number 5 moment. And so moment can mean, you know, a
scene
series
sequence
of things happen, or it can be an individual scene or just a funny moment. So Drew, start us off. What's your number 5?
I absolutely will. So I'm going to claim my being a low 50s, my Gen Xer stuff, and you can kick me under the table here, Justin, but I have to give one honorable mention. That opening sequence where Captain does, let's go get this son of a bitch, there's a scene, I'm into humor, so I just got to mention, I'll mention number 6 real quick, because I with my OCD, I got to start to finish, but when Rocket starts to talk about, you know, what's wrong with him, well, he lost, and there's a lot of that going around. When Tony Stark turns him and says, for a minute there, I thought you were Build-A-Bear. So Tony Stark, several actors are my Generation X. I thought I heard there was a cut in that where they actually said, I thought for a minute you were Teddy Ruxpin, because Teddy Ruxpin, his lips actually moved. Build-A-Bear lips don't move. So that is my honorable number 6. I love it because the humor, but I just wish they had changed it to Teddy Ruxpin.
I like your edit. That's great. Yeah.
Yeah. So just, and fellow Gen Xers, I know, you know where I'm going with that. So, and you guys are like, very end Gen Xers and some.
I know you did.
So Brittany, we'll show you.
Millennial.
Millennial. I realized that when you said I was doing that 5 years ago, 30. But anyways, real quick. So I'm jumping a lot. So it's hard with 5. And thanks for letting me get slipped that I mentioned. My favorite sequence jumps as far as my number 5 favorite moment is shit. I figured out time travel. Looks to the steps. Shit. Because I have kids, right? So. And then what are you doing? I'm working on support and shit. And they always come down to my home office. So, I mean, there's a whole father children dynamic and kids swearing. And then I noticed he said something, oh, your mother coined that phrase, trying to push off things on mom, because dads do that all the time. So that is that sequence. And then, which leads to, I get a little choked up because I'm a father, but the whole love you 3000 and, you know, and go to sleep, I'm going to sell your toys. This is the kind of stuff dads say. And then going down to have the competition, and my favorite line, you know, from all the Marvel movies in there somewhere, not that it's competition, but, you know, and he says that too, not it's competition, but you were somewhere in the low 900s or something. You guys can correct me, but that's my number 5 sequence. That's the one I pick. That's my number 5.
That's a great one, because it starts out with Tony figures out time travel, which is one of the big plots, obviously, in the film. So
that's
really, really great start to the list. Brittany, you want to add anything, or do you want to go to your number 5?
You know, surprisingly, that is my number 5. Morgan H. Stark. Like, I think she is just the cutest. I love the relationship that she has with Tony. And definitely my quotes of I love you 3000 is right up there. I mean, come on, I'm wearing the damn shirt. I mean, that's just an iconic line given by such a small, you know, small human. Yeah. And then at the very end, like I said it at the top of the show, y'all, this movie has a range of emotions. You're doing a roller coaster the entire time. You get that I love you 3000 from her. And then at the very end, post, you know, memorial service for Tony, and happy is with Morgan And he's like, "Are you hungry?" She goes, "Yeah." He goes, "What do you want?" She goes, "Cheeseburgers." And like that callback to Iron Man, the first movie that kicked it off for the MCU, y'all. The very fact that she is cut from the same cloth as her father, she wants cheeseburgers. I mean, that hits you right in the feels, y'all. And I'm actually trying really hard not to like get teary eyed because it's, and I'm not a parent, you know, I like kids, but I just don't like them for myself. But, you know, that's such an iconic, those two lines are so iconic for me. And it's the sweetest.
If I could, Brittany, what you're feeling multiplied by 3,000, I'm glad I didn't have to talk because I would get a little choked up. So just so you know, times 3,000, that's how I'm doing right now.
My number five, we're going to make somebody cry because in this movie, we lost some Avengers. And my number five moment is Black Widow's sacrifice. And telling you what, like that scene is really incredible because you have two characters in Clint Barton, a.k.a. Hawkeye, and Natasha Romanoff, a.k.a. Black Widow, who are super close, that they have this bond. They go to Vormir in order to get the Soul Stone. They have to trade a soul to get the Soul Stone, which, you know, no one knew what they were really getting into, right? So they have to make the decision. And these two characters that love each other fight to be the one to sacrifice themselves for the other one. And, like, just how emotional that battle is between these two people who love each other. And then, ultimately, you know, Natasha gets the upper hand and, you know, she takes the fall and she falls off the cliff and dies. Like, that is such a sad moment. And I remember because, like, you know, this is like 2 hours in the movie and it's just like really kicks you in the gut because all the other Avengers travel through time and get their stones and, you know, come back and she's the one that's missing. And that scene, and then like the scene right after, the reaction the Avengers have for it, you know, they're all at the lake. Tony asks the question, like, does she have family? And Steve's like, yeah, us. Like, we're her family. And, you know, Hulk is, like, upset. Obviously, Clint is.
Throws the fence.
I love Thor. Thor's like, he's like, we're the Avengers. Like, you know, like, we don't, like, stop this shit. Like, we're going to, like, we have the stones. We'll go back and get her. And they're like, no, it can't be undone. Such a great moment. And I just want to add that I didn't even know that there was an alternate version to this scene, but this week I was watching all the extras on Disney Plus, and there's an alternate version of this scene where instead of it being Black Widow and Clint fighting each other, they have to fight Thanos's army. Thanos's army shows up at Vormir while they're trying to decide who's going to sacrifice themselves. They get caught up in a gunfight, and Natasha ends up also sacrificing herself in this scenario. But what's really eerie to see, the reason why she does it mostly is because she's got her back to the cliff and she's about to jump and she sees Thanos come off a ship and Thanos is like steps away from killing Clint. And that's when she like kills herself so that she can save Clint from being killed by Thanos. If you've not seen this alternate scene, which I had not until this week, definitely check it out. It's only like 4 minutes. It's on the, you know, Disney Plus or the DVD or whatever, but definitely, give it a look. It's worth checking out.
Yeah, here she is right on the cup. So give props to Natasha Romanoff.
There we go.
There you go.
So those are our number fives. So let's go. What's your number four moment?
My number four, kind of sticking with my OC of chronology. It's simple. You guys know me well enough. The Taco Tuesday scene with Scott Lang and and the ship and, you know, losing the tacos and all that. And then Nebula, there's an idiot in the landing zone, Rhodey, and Rhodey crashing down. Hey, normal sized guy. But then Hulk and music starts to play, handing them the two tacos. You guys know I love Taco Tuesday. After besides F this stuff o'clock on Fridays, that's my second favorite day of the week. So, yeah, that's my number four. No. Go ahead.
Yeah, yep, love mixing in the comedy. It's good because, you know, we're doing the roller coaster thing too, just like the movie. So good job, Drew, with that one. Brittany, what's your number four?
So my number four, you know, Justin, it's really hard to like pinpoint like the top five Avengers Endgame moments, period. There's so many. Yeah. It's ridiculous how many. I'm going to actually kind of go through that roller coaster. We're going to go on a down now, y'all. Okay. We're going to talk a little bit about Thor. Thor went through a rough patch, obviously. He became a gamer Thor, fat Thor, if you will. We're not body shaming. It's just, it's what happened, you know. Right. And, you know, he has a lot of trauma he's gone through. But he was able to go back in time. He was able to go back to Asgard, the moment when they needed to retrieve the ether from the love of his life, right? But he gets to reconnect with his mother.
Yep.
And his mother, being a witch, being just the freaking awesome Frigga that she is, she knows that while he is her son, he's not her son of that time period. And Thor finally gets that closure with his mom. He gets to say goodbye to her and have that wonderful moment with her. And I just think it was really essential for him and his character, because it's what also kicked him in the pants to, you know, not be in such a slump anymore, right? You know, he is an Avenger. He is going to do great things and whatnot. And so I really enjoyed that moment of Thor and his mother. I love seeing Rene Russo come back out of retirement to reprise her role and have that heart to heart. And in that moment too, he was able to get Mjolnir back. He got that confidence back. He's like, I am still worthy. And then, you know, Rocket steals the ether and all hell breaks loose and they got to go, damn that rabbit. You know, there you go, Drew. Yeah. We got Drew here showing us his Mjolnir, or what I like to call Mew Mew.
But
I really, that's my number four moment, Thor having that closure moment with his mother. And I, you know, kind of coming back to his normal Thor self.
Just yeah. If I could, just a little coup de grace. She took us on that roller coaster, but you know me and my loving comedy, especially in this whole everything the MCU, the I'm totally from the future part.
Oh yeah,
right. And then eat a salad. Love it, Brittany.
Eat a salad. Yeah. He's like, what are you talking about? This is my everywhere. Like, you know, yep. You know, I got this from wherever.
So, you took an honorable mention. Thank you so much. I don't even have to talk about it.
That was one of my honorable mentions for sure. So good job, Brittany. That also a great emotional moment. That's one thing about this movie. There's so many characters, and the way this movie wraps up the Infinity Saga and all these characters, you know, some character arcs are wrapped up. Some of them are continued. Okay. It's a masterful work. This movie, I love it. My number four, and this might be higher on other people's list. This movie is so stacked with stuff that, like, I got to go for it now. America's Ass. We see Cap versus Cap. What a great Brittany, this is not a draft, so you can talk about this also.
No, it's just that was top for me. Damn you.
So we venture back to 2012 New York. And I mean, what a great idea to go back to the movies. They went back into, you know, they go back into the first Avengers movie, they go back to Dark World, they go back to the first Guardians movie. Just really like a genius invention of like how to like celebrate these movies, but then also like wrap up the story by going back to the ones we've already seen. So super, super genius. Yeah. So Tony's there. He's kind of on lookout and he sees the 2012 Avengers and they've apprehended Loki. Right. And Tony makes the comment. He's like, you know, Rogers, I forgot that suit did nothing for your ass. And Steve's like, no one asked you to look, Tony. And then Tony's like, it's ridiculous. And then Scott Lang, of course, who's the underrated MVP of this movie. He's like, I think you look great, Cap. As far as I'm concerned, that's America's ass. And then he salutes him. Such a funny moment. Like the way they can mix humor into these, like, you know, crazy situations is perfect. Then, this is my number four, but this encapsulates a lot of stuff because the scene continues. The strike team is there, AKA like Hydra agents. They don't know are Hydra yet. And they're there to get the scepter, which has the Mind Stone, right? So Cap gets on an elevator with them, and you're thinking, oh my gosh, we're gonna have the Winter Soldier elevator scene. We're running it back with Cap. But you know what? He learned his lesson. Even though he won the fight in Winter Soldier, he's not gonna go through that again. Instead of having to fight off 20 dudes, he whispers to Jasper Sitwell, he says, Hail Hydra. And by doing that, he, you know, he's cool with them. They let him walk out with the scepter. I love how he walks to the elevator. He's got his big smile on his face. But then shortly thereafter, he encounters 2012 Captain America.
America's ass, y'all.
Right. 2012 Captain America, who thinks that 2023 Captain America, which Endgame is actually takes place in 2023 in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yep.
He thinks that 2023 Captain America is Loki in disguise. And so then begins an epic battle of S.H.I.E.L.D. versus S.H.I.E.L.D., you know, like throwing punches, suplexing, falling from...
Loki is alive. Yeah,
falling from 15 stories. And then, you know, as they fall, 2012 Cap, he sees that the pocket watch with Peggy's picture from 2013, Steve, is on the ground. He's like, where did you get this? And then, you know, like Brittany just said, 2012 Cap gets our Cap into a chokehold. Mm-hmm. The only way that he can get out of it is he says, Bucky is alive. And then, of course, 2012, you know, Cap is like shook. And then Cap knocks him out, uses the scepter. And then, of course, 2012 Cap is slumped over, face down. Cap gets up, looks down. He's like, that is America's ass. Like, the comedy, the action, yeah, like, that is just an amazing scene. That, like, just seeing Captain America fight Captain America is like a dream come true, like a cool thing. But then to make it so funny, they're masters at this.
So ahead, to Brent. That point, Justin, during that whole fight sequence too, you know, the Cap's getting clocked, you know, by 2012 Cap.
Yep.
He's getting clocked by him and he's like, I could do this all day. He's good. Like, yeah, good. I know.
You got it. You nailed it, Brittany. Yes.
Yeah, I know. Yes. Like, I get it. You know, you gotta have to have that. Yeah. If you're going to talk about
it. Because our Steve is getting up off the ground. He's like, I know. Like, it's so great. Like, the way they use the lines from other movies. Oh, we're going to talk more about that in another moment. But such a great moment. Really, the whole New York stuff is all great with the Hulk and the stairs, and I mean, seriously,
so many stairs.
So many great moments, but that's my number four.
Nice.
Drew, we're moving into number three for you. What's your third favorite moment from Avengers Endgame?
All right. So time travel. All right. So one quick honorable mention that's going to lead to this. They're testing time travel. My humor. Scott Lang comes out back. They fix him. He's like, I just peed myself. I wasn't sure it was baby me. That's my list. So that leads in Cap, you know, and Bulk's like, or Brandon's like, time travel, you know, and Cap is just like, oh, geez, right? So he's like, so Cap is walking out of Avengers headquarters, sees the Audi, and you know, my love of sports cars. I'm like, all right, here comes Tony, Cap. The whole sequence of Tony coming back saying, hey, turned into a baby, didn't he? Talking about pushing time through Scott. But that whole scene where he goes back, opens up the hood of the sports car, has a shield, and, you know, gives it to Cap, and Cap's like, are you sure? And, you know, everything from Civil War, the one thing I love about this movie, you mentioned it, Brittany, and you know, this movie, the way I got through the pandemic and even when the pandemic got lessened and even all this stuff, when I need joy in my life, I love to go to YouTube and type in Endgame audience reactions, like when I work out or I just,
perfect,
traffic's getting to me and I just don't want to even go down a road rage path, I start watching the scenes or playing them because I love the love we all have. We can prove that we can all do something together as humanity, despite race, color, creed. This is what we love. We all love the superheroes. So where I'm going with this, you know, Cap hands that, and there's that whole healing from Civil War, and there's a bigger thing afoot here. They need to put the bygones behind them. And that whole scene to me is my number three, the discussion of, you know, Morgan was going to use it as a shield, blah, blah. But I mean, that is a super emotional moment if you think of what it built. And then my favorite line is, and we are getting the whole team back, right? So that's my number four with the honorable mention of, you know, I wasn't sure if it was baby me, old me, or just me. But because that was a time travel, led him to get outside to meet Tony and heal. That's my number three with a quick honorable mention.
Awesome. Yeah, no, I love it. And like we were saying earlier, like there, it's hard to break up these scenes because they transition into other scenes so well that, you know, unless there's like a needle drop music moment. Yeah. I mean, obviously the shield's great. And, you know, with this movie, you could do top five. Easily top five Tony Stark moments, top five Steve Rogers, Captain America moments. I mean, you can do character moments if you want to, because there's so many great moments, but that's definitely a great one. Brittany, what's your number three?
Yeah, this is getting tough, y'all. So my number three, I gotta stick with my ladies. Ladies, y'all, we had a moment. We had a moment during the most epic battle the MCU has provided to us thus far, in my opinion. All my ladies got together. They band together. Valkyrie, Nebula, Gamora, Marvel, you know, Scarlet Witch, they all band together to try.
Pepper Potts.
Yes, I'm not going to name them all. I mean, but you get it. All my ladies band together. They're trying to keep this gauntlet away from Thanos. And, you know, they are working together as a team. And I love the very fact that Marvel, Disney took the time to actually, you know, incorporate this into this movie and give a shout out to the ladies of the MCU. It was a beautiful moment. It was really, really amazing to see, because, you know, they have this they have this great line where basically
Okoye. Okoye. Yep. She's not alone.
She's not alone. Yeah. Like,
right. Okoye. Yep.
Yeah. So Peter is saying to Carol Danvers, aka Captain Marvel, you know, like, hey, I'm Peter Parker. She's like, hey, Peter Parker, you got something for me? And he's like, you know, how are you going to get through all that? And Wanda flies in. She's like, don't worry. Okoye then says she's got help. So you got Valkyrie, yep, Mantis, Gamora, Nebula, Wasp, Shuri, and Pepper group up, and they're coming to defend this world. And so it's a really iconic moment. You have all these ladies assemble, and, you know, they're here to kick some ass and take names as well. Although Mantis said it incorrectly in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Kick names and take ass.
Take ass.
Right?
I mean,
kick names and take ass.
Whatever you like, Mantis. You know, whatever you like. You know, it's all good. It's all good. So, that's my number three moment.
Justin, if I could.
Go ahead, sir.
No, so I think, and maybe it's been done on YouTube off look, but you know how I think Beyonce should have remade her song and said, all the super ladies, all the super ladies. That's just me.
There we go.
I like it.
Just saying.
She's also from the H, so, you know.
Yep, that's so I'm just saying. All the super ladies. All right. I digress.
So, Drew, you're talking about audience reaction moments. And my number three might be the biggest one of all. Captain America is worthy. He harnesses the power of Thor's hammer, Mjolnir.
How is that your number three, though?
Because this movie is ridiculous. Because wait till you hear what number one are. Like, I think you might guess, but like, anyway. So let's talk about this one a little bit.
Yeah.
In this scene, which, you know, it's a pretty lengthy scene, but like, you see, the MCU's Trinity in effect. You have
they call them the big three.
Yeah, the big three. You have Captain America. You have Iron Man. You have Thor. They're taking on the Mad Titan. They're fighting Thanos. And, you know, in the fight, you know, Thanos tosses Iron Man aside, right? And then Thanos intercepts Stormbreaker. And then he tries to, like, force it through Thor's chest. And it looks like it's gonna kill Thor. All of a sudden, Mjolnir is off to the side, starts stirring, flies, hits Thanos, then flies back. And you're like, where is it going? And then Steve Rogers catches it as the music, like, perfectly, like, kind of comes to like a screeching halt. And then, like, I mean, I saw the movie three times in theaters. Every single time it was like,
No. Except that time we all saw it on IMAX, and the guys next to us, when that scene happened, he straight up said, fuck yeah.
There was a lot of that worldwide. I can tell you that when that scene,
right. That was amazing. Yeah.
And, you know, Cap catches it. And then right away they go to Thor, and he has a smile on his face. And he's like, I knew it. It's such, like, Chris Hemsworth is such a great actor. Like, is Chris Evans, but like, he is so awesome. That's such a great moment to say that. And then Cap gets the hammer, and the fighting moves, like, he's using the hammer with the shield. He's like drawing the lightning and hitting Thanos. And like, the first time I saw the movie, I'm like, Thanos is done. Like, Cap's going to kill Thanos right now. Movie over. Of course, you know, Thanos is able to fight back and continue the story. But that's a moment. Honestly, like, I'm not being like hyperbolic, because we're talking about this and we love this stuff, but like, in the history of movies, like, when it's all said and done, and there's a reel of the greatest moments in movie history, that's going to be there somewhere. It has to be.
We've lived through I Am Your Father. And so Frank and I are comic readers, right? And we knew this was coming, and it was hard. And we knew it was, Frank and I knew this was coming at some point. How they did it, even as a comic book reader, to this day, I still get goosebumps and I jump out of my chair. If the family's around, I'm like, heck yeah, just me, myself, I'm F-bombing it. Because that, to see that, I mean, to draw it, just, the comic books don't do it justice. To see that happen especially because the Age of Ultron alludes to it.
Exactly.
Yeah. So great guess. Yeah.
Yeah, because I was going to get Brittany. I want to get your thoughts on that because I know, like, you're a big fan of Age of Ultron. You always have been. And like that's, I know you've always talked about the scene where they're at the dinner party and they're trying to see who can lift the hammer, and Cap like kind of moves it. You could see Thor kind of like.
Thor got worried.
Yeah, he got worried.
Thor got worried. He got a little worried because remember, right. Whoever wields the hammer,
yeah,
can rule Asgard.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, and while I don't think Thor truly wanted to be king of Asgard ever, really at any true moment in his life, that's still a little, you know, it's a little jarring for him. He's like, this outsider is about to come and like take my hammer and about to rule my people and whatnot. You know what I'm saying? Like it's a little jarring, but yeah, that moment of him being able to wield Mew Mew. I'm always going to call him Mew Mew because I think it's just like a really funny, word. Sorry, my phone keeps going off, but, you know, it's I love that kind of callback because it's planting that seed, you know, and then eventually for it to pay off in the very end, it's just like, it's just so damn good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If I could, Justin, to add to that. So you go to Infinity War, they get together in Wakanda, right? Oh, I see you've cut your hair. Oh, I see you copied my beard. So
yeah.
the shit talk was going on already in Infinity War. Just to see. So I love those lines.
Yeah. Yeah, it's great when those guys get together. It's what a great combination. That's one thing great about these movies, Infinity War and Endgame, is you have all these, like, I mean, Captain America and Thor, they're OG Avengers, so they're going to be together from time to time, but like the mixtures of different characters, you know, Tony with Nebula and, you know, Rocket with Thor, like all that stuff was like perfect pairings. And it just, again, it makes this like one of the greatest movies ever. So,
and
go ahead.
No, I was going to say pairings. I'm going to get to it. You can talk about Thor and Rocket. You saw the pictures. I call my son Zachary Rabbit. Says he does have autism, but he's verbal. So he loves roller coasters. So every time I go roller coaster, I look at him and say, I say, get to the pod, Rabbit. And he always goes, more power, Rabbit, just so you guys know. So, but
I love that.
So yeah, every time in the water slides, in the rafts at the water park, I look at him, he goes, get to the pod, Rabbit. I said, that's right. And then we're going down, more power, Rabbit. This is just a Weiss family thing where, you know. But the other thing, too, I'll get to it here, but I think it's the Hemsworth Pratt, just because they're such awesome actors. But the interaction of Thor and Star-Lord, not a lot in the comics, so they just took that to the next level of awesomeness that led to, I know not everyone's a fan, but many of us here were of Love and Thunder. So, but go ahead. Yeah, I digress.
Yeah, no, great stuff. But now, Drew, it's back to you now.
Number
two, what's your number two moment?
Okay, so my number two moment was when Cap got Mjolnir and all that stuff. So, because I see these things as iconic, right? These symbols. So you got that number three. And so time-wise, just a couple honorable mentions. Again, I'm a guy that loves humor. Humor keeps me going. I think about when they're traveling, just quick mentions, so Thor, I'm worthy. And then all of a sudden you hear the Star-Lord, come and get your love playing, you know, to the transition, because of where that's that you're laughing at, you know, I'm still worthy. And then, you know, you've got, War Machine, Rhodey and Nebula there. And then you got the music playing. Then all of a sudden you got Chris Pratt, come and get your love. Yeah. And he's an idiot. And Nebula's like that, just the nod to head. And then he just cold cocks the Star-Lord, but just an honorable mention. So. I mean, you had my number two because I'm the icons of what I do with the big three. So I made some honorable mentions that you were tied at number two, and I'm not trumping it. I'm good with that. We can go to someone else's number two.
Sounds good. Brittany, what's your number two?
Well, my number two was Cap versus Cap, but you know, you already took that.
No, you can, expound upon it more. Yeah, go ahead.
No, just the whole sequence in it of itself, like the very fact that, you know, you look at the differences between 2012 Captain America versus 2023 Captain America, how chilled out 2023 Cap is compared to 2012, because 2012, he's all like, you know, I'm on my way, you know, like, the, you know, just being so like soldier like and just so on point, what have you. But I'm going to mention one of my honorable mentions because it's part of the scene. And I got to give it to my boy Loki. Like, my boy Loki, y'all. I love the fact that we got to see Tom Hiddleston come back in this movie, because one, I love the Christmas tree haircut. Like, I don't know what was going on with the wig and like hair and makeup. I don't know why they decided to see, like, give him like Christmas tree layered hair. It was crazy. But it's a very quick scene, or just a quick movement if you're not paying attention, where they're all in the elevator and, you know, they're, Tony's trying to stop Hulk from walking into the elevator. And he says, you know, stairs, and like, whoa, like, you got to take the stairs. And Hulk's pretty pissed about that. As the elevator doors are closing, Loki, whose hands are, you know, handcuffed in front of him, he raises his hands and he just waves like, just to taunt the guy. Like, and it's so fucking funny. Yeah. Because if you're not paying attention to him, you're gonna entirely miss it. Right. But yeah. I love that moment. And then obviously just Loki taking the Tesseract and vanishing, and then that would lead to the wonderful series that is Loki. So that's definitely an honorable mention, with a side to Cap versus Cap, aka America's Ass.
Go ahead, Drew.
No, just real quick to add to that, Brittany. So remember when Thor and Rocket go back in time, they pass Loki, he's doing something in that cell in Asgard, yeah, too. Yeah. So you get to see your guy. I love that.
But he got even more so. Oh, absolutely. Time.
Yep. And it took
just,
me to
just that little wave. Just,
I did not notice that till the third time. So Friday, the next day, Friday, because there's so much to pick up on. And I'm like, oh God, that's freaking hilarious. Because, you know, yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, this movie is just jam packed with stuff.
Oh yeah.
So my number three was, you know, Cap getting Mjolnir, and where that scene kind of ends is where my number two moment begins. Because my number two moment is on your left, Avengers Assemble, which is, I mean, it's a tremendous, like, it begins with, you know, Thanos is giving this speech about how, you know, I'm going to enjoy tearing your little planet apart. And, you know, I'm going to strip it to the last atom or whatever. And Cap is battered. He's bruised. He's beaten. He's on the ground. His shield is like, he has like a fourth of a shield. And he stumbles to his feet and he fastens the strap on what's left of his shield. And he's prepared to take on Thanos and his army all by himself if he has to. And then suddenly he hears something in his earpiece. Hey, Cap, it's Sam. Hey, Cap, it's Sam. Can you read me? And then all of a sudden, on your left. And then the Doctor Strange portal opens up to Cap's left. And I mean, like, this is a moment I'll never forget where I was, like, when I saw this. I mean, literally every time I saw it in the theater, it's like people just, like, lost their minds. And then the first three people that come out are from Black Panther, which, of course, Black Panther, you know, before Infinity War, was like this culture phenomenon, made a ton of money, one of the greatest movies in the MCU. And then we thought we lost that character in Infinity War. And to see him walk out, and he look at Cap, and Cap is like relieved. Then Sam comes flying out. Then everybody comes back. It's such an epic moment. And they get all lined up. And once again, Cap calls for Mjolnir, catches it. And for the first time ever, he says, Avengers
Assemble.
And he underplays it. And then Thor's like, ah, and then they all start taking off. It's such an awesome moment. And Drew, like you said, it's one of those audience reaction moments that just like kind of get you pumped up, that you go to YouTube and these YouTube videos have hundreds of millions of views. Like, literally they do. People are monetizing Avengers Endgame like crazy, I think. But no, it's just, it's such a great moment. That's my number two. Anybody want to add anything to that?
So my sequence number two is, I was going to do a sequence where Cap gets Mjolnir, the on your left, all the way to Avengers Assemble was my number two sequence, but we've covered it. So yeah, it was close. I mean, it's iconic. It's I'm just chills right now because I want to turn it on again and watch it. It just pumps you up.
Yeah. So we got Marcy in the chat, and she said, is it lame to say I teared up? I almost teared up right now talking about Marcy. I've watched this movie, no joke, 20 something times, I bet. Mm-hmm. Honestly, there's some parts of this movie that I cry in every time. And I know what's going to happen. I've got a Google document with all of it typed out, basically. I mean, right now, I could cry if I wanted to. Seriously, like, I could do it. This movie is so emotional. And, like, even the stuff that's, like, you know, these amazing things that happen, where these heroic things, they do it so well. Like, it's so well done. And that's an all-timer. Like, on your left, Avengers Assemble. Just, I mean, my number one is only number one because it's how the movie ends. But, like, otherwise, like, I mean, in my mind, there's like three or four number ones in this list, honestly. Yeah.
To add to that too. So as time passes, right, we go back to watch the movie. We lost Chadwick Boseman, an amazing man, an amazing actor.
It's sad. No, it really is.
You guys know how tore I got when I saw Wakanda Forever. Sorry, everybody. This is you're gonna say some man tears, and that's okay.
This is a safe space. It's fine.
It is. Yep. You're good. Yep. The whole internet's a safe space. We're good. You're watching this, but you know, it's to see. And I told you guys we did the Wakanda Forever. Thank you for having me on that one too.
Yep.
Those actors talk about when they had to react, losing T'Challa was to them re-losing Chadwick again. So I mean, to see his, I mean, if there's ever an embodiment of awesome sauce, it's all these people. But to see him coming walking out with his sister Shuri and Okoye, Shuri and Okoye survived the snap. I know he didn't, because she's like my king. But you know, I mean, and he and Cap and Frank and I are heavy comic readers. I mean, there's a whole series back in World War II where Cap tries to go to Wakanda and fights T'Chaka, the original Black, or T'Challa's father, and time happens and froze. But I'm every time I see him come out, especially him. And then Peter, and then real quick, the whole scene, I don't, maybe we'll touch here, but Spider-Man comes swimming out from where they were estranged, and then the whole end, and Doctor Strange has been 5 years, we gotta go back, he did this really thing, and it just totally just hugged me, like, oh, this is nice, you know. It just, I get choked up with that, because I've been mentors to younger people, and you want to hug them, and yeah, so, a lot of good emotion.
Well, Drew, you got the floor, so
all right,
why don't you give us your number one?
So, my number one, with a couple of, but my number one, without a doubt, and I kind of alluded to it when I said I am assembled.
Yeah.
And I am Iron Man.
There you go.
And then leading the sequence, it's going to get emotional when Pepper goes, Tony, you can rest now. I can't right now.
No, that's my number one also. You know, like, it's so great because Thanos thinks that he's won again, and he's got the gauntlet, right? Yep. Now it's the nanotech gauntlet, so that's how Tony gets the stones back. But you know, Thanos is like, I'm inevitable, and then he's like, and I am Iron Man. And I wanted to let y'all know something. I've been talking about this book forever, but MCU, the Reign of Marvel Studios, in the book, I learned that originally Tony Stark didn't say I am Iron Man. He just snapped his fingers.
Oh,
and there was an editor who was working on the film who was like, you know what? He should say, I am Iron Man. That'd be the perfect thing to say. And the last shot, the last thing filmed for this movie was Tony Stark. It was Robert Downey Jr. doing that scene. That's the last thing they shot for this movie, was a reshoot of that scene where he added an I am Iron Man. I mean, talk about like that editor. He edited like his addition to the movie, one of the greatest moments in the history of the MCU, greatest moments in movie history. Like that's, I'm surprised they didn't have him say something, considering how quippy and how quick-witted, you know, Tony is. But that's just an awesome moment, which was made better by that editor. So kudos
to him. Absolutely. Yeah. I did not know that fact.
He better have gotten paid.
Yeah.
Because that is a pivotal moment. Arguably my number one as well. I mean,
awesome. I love you guys. You guys are the best. We all took the number one. Yes.
Yeah. I also, y'all go watch our 2019 pod on this. I'm not going to tell y'all the ending of that because it's iconic. That scene alone was just so moving, because the one thing that he had said to Cap, you know, to come and actually try to bring back everyone, is he's like, listen, he goes, I want to do this, but I have my priorities.
Yeah.
And that's, I got to keep what I have found. And basically he's like, I got to stay alive. Like I got to stay alive for my family.
Yeah.
And for Tony to make the ultimate sacrifice to end everything. And to, you know, I didn't know that piece of information that Justin just shared about the editor saying, why not him say, you know, I am Iron Man. It's just so freaking iconic, and it's going to go down in movie history as being one of the best lines that's ever been delivered. And Robert Downey Jr. just like gave one hell of a performance. And everything that led after that moment, like what Drew was talking about with Pepper coming to him and saying, yep. you know, you can rest. It's a callback to something she had said earlier to him about if he didn't do something about it, would he be able to rest? And the answer was no, obviously.
Right.
Everyone's reaction, like, you know, Peter, obviously, like seeing his mentor die in front of him. And one of the deleted scenes that we didn't get to see in the final cut was everyone taking a knee to say, you know, share their respects to Tony. And, yeah. and the last one being Dr. Strange, because, you know, there was kind of a little bit of, I won't say a rift between the two, but when Dr. Strange gave up the time stone to Thanos, because he knew there was out of 14 million possibilities, you know, that it was the one move that needed to be done in order for them to win. And well, so Tony's like, why did you do that? Yeah. Number one. And that was Dr. Strange, you know, showing Tony, like, in other words, this is the one chance, this like you've got to act on it.
Right.
And Dr. Strange arguably knew what was going to happen, but he couldn't speak on it. Otherwise it was probably going to alter. It just wasn't going to happen. So for him, for that camera to be on Dr. Strange as he's kneeling and, you know, he kind of lifts his head up to, like, you know, pay his respect to Tony. It's really moving. And I actually do wish they kept that in the movie. But I mean, the funeral, the memorial service scene is equally powerful. However, yeah, that scene alone, I mean, I cried. I mean, I cried. It was incredible. And I don't know how you can top that. I really honestly don't know how anyone here can top that.
And that scene, see, for me, not only is it the snap is number one, but also you've got Tony's, he gives his own eulogy where he says one of the greatest things where he's like, you know,
Tony, you know, iconery. And
he says part of the journey is the end, which I think was like such a great, like, what a great quote from that character. The character who kicked off the universe, who now ends this storyline, you know, by saying, he says, I am Iron Man at the end of Iron Man 1, where he's at the press conference and he admits, I am Iron Man, right? Then he ends the story.
I am Iron Man.
Then he ends it by saying, I am Iron Man. And then once again, like I said, that was the last thing they shot for this movie. They shot that scene on a soundstage right next to the soundstage where he did his screen test back in 2007.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
and he got the job based on his screen test. He killed it because there were other actors up for that role, which is addressed in the book MCU, The Reign of Marvel Studios. And I wish I got paid for every time I said that, but I love that book. But he, you know, he killed it in that soundstage and that audition. And then like 11, 12 years later, he's filming his last lines for that same character, a character that, you know, led a $30 billion plus movie franchise, which has never been done before. And maybe will be. Yeah.
It won't be done again.
And it's, I mean, they're only just going to make more money, obviously, but like what they accomplished in their 10 or 11 year run is unprecedented. But that's just part of it. You know, like, honestly, we could do a whole podcast just about this one moment itself, because then you've got the cheeseburgers. You know, we talked about that a little bit, how, you know, Morgan wanted to have cheeseburgers. She's talking to John Favreau.
Says to her at the end of his, you know, his own eulogy, basically, is, you know, he looks, what we believe he's looking at his daughter.
Yeah.
And he says, I love you 3000. And I just I can't.
And then you got the funeral. Every character is at the funeral. And this is a wonder. They really shot this in person. All these characters had to show up in Atlanta to do this, right? Mm-hmm. And to get them there, they told everybody it was a wedding because they didn't want to spoil it that he was dying. And then they all got there and they're like, we're all dressed in black. This is a weird wedding. And they go, well, actually, it's not a wedding. It's a funeral. And they're like,
Is this from the book, Justin?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But Marvel's cover, though, for the press was, well, we're going to do a 10th anniversary photo shoot with everybody, which they also did that same time period. Mm-hmm. But to get, like, because only Robert Downey Jr. and Chris Evans were given the full script.
And
everyone else was only given their parts because they didn't want anything to leak.
Right, right.
Because remember when this movie came out, the Russos shot like commercials were like, hey, don't spoil Endgame. And like, there was a big thing online about don't spoil
superheroes don't spoil. Yep. Right. Superheroes don't spoil.
And I, you know, some people did spoil it. Marshawn Lynch, the former NFL player. I know he spoiled it. Or I'm sorry, maybe not Marshawn. No, it was another running back. I'm sorry. I don't think it's Marshawn. But I don't want to besmirch Marshawn Lynch. But I know it's an NFL running back who oh, Tony Stark dies, and it's like, dude, that's not cool.
But I gotta find out who it is.
Yeah. But anyway, just all of that stuff encapsulate this, and this makes it the number one moment. Yeah. I think it's the number one moment in the MCU, period. But easily in this movie, and in a movie that has so many moments. Yeah.
Yep.
And I think as an addendum to this, I just want to also mention there's another deleted scene about this scene where originally, right after Tony dies, he goes to that way station that Thanos did at the end of Infinity War, where he sees Gamora, right? The little Gamora, and she asks him, was it worth it? Or, what did it cost? He says, everything. Well, in Tony's way station, he sees a teenage or maybe a college age version of Morgan. And they talk, his daughter, and they talk about it. And she says, we're going to be okay. I love you. And he says, I love you 3000. Right. And so the directors said that they liked the scene, but they said it really didn't work because then the eulogies right after that. And Tony says the same thing again. So they had to cut the way station scene, but you can watch that 3 or 4 minute scene on Disney Plus. Yep. And I would recommend it. It's on YouTube also. So check it out. Yeah.
The running back was LeSean McCoy.
And LeSean what's he doing? McCoy.
These, and what's he go. Doing these and what's he doing these days? Shame on him.
I knew it was something. I said Marshawn, but LeSean, I knew it was something. It was LeSean, from same kind of era running back.
I just have one more thing to add. So my only, a lot of emotion got through. I had to un-camera out for a minute, get rid of some man tears. but my favorite with my humor is the post thing. The scene of Star-Lord and Thor coming, Guardians of the Galaxy back together again. And you say that I'm the captain of the ship, but yet you keep swiping the map and the whole, I'm the captain and I'm in charge. Well, yes, of course. The way he looks at him is just classic. I loved it.
He's like, yes, of course.
That was Drax is like, y'all should fight to death, to the death. Knives.
But that's my only last. We tied where we needed to tie, and that's my list. So we hit my list, and we're doing good staying our time.
Do you have any honorable mentions? Because I have a few.
I know you have a few. Yeah, I have a couple. So, go for it. And y'all have actually kind of sprinkled them in throughout this whole pod, which is great. We're covering a lot of ground. That way we don't have to, repeat ourselves, which is fun. I think the number one honorable mention for me is Cap passing on the shield and the mantle to Sam Wilson.
That's on my
huge
list.
Yeah. Iconic. Like, that is amazing because, we think that for whatever reason, something happened with Cap going back in time to place the stones back exactly where they got them from. And Sam's like freaking out to Professor Hulk and Bucky's just chill. Like, Bucky is, just kind of looks beyond, and then he calls for Sam, and you see an older gentleman sitting there at a bench looking out at the lake, and it's Cap, this is a twofer. So Cap got his life. He got the life that he missed out on with Peggy. And, he's obviously aged. He's got a wedding band on his finger, and he's lived his life. And that's just a beautiful thought alone. But for him to pass on the mantle to Sam Wilson, and just how iconic that is, obviously. And then what that would lead to with the show, Falcon and the Winter Soldier. Y'all check out our pod review on that as well. That was just so pivotal, and it was just like a beautiful way to carry on that legacy, of course. And it was amazing. That was amazing. Do I continue with my honorable mentions, or are we all going in around?
Let me jump in, because that was my number six. If we had six, it was going to be The Man Out of Time Goes Back in Time.
Nice.
Like you said, Brittany,
you're such a writer.
I'm good with headlines. That's my kind of my
just,
thing.
That's your beat.
Yeah.
Just like Rocket. Just at the end of the whatever it takes speech, I'm going to have pull a Rocket. Hey, he's pretty good at that.
Yeah.
Oh, good job.
That might be coming up very soon.
Okay,
also,
gotcha.
That speech.
Lord, I was giving you props.
That speech.
So the Man Out of Time goes back in time. As Brittany said so well, you know, Cap has to go back and replace the stones and take Mjolnir back with him. And, you know, then, of course, I mean, you know, like I said, Tony Stark's death is the biggest scene in the movie. But the final scene of the movie is Cap dancing with Peggy, the same song that we heard in The Winter Soldier. And then, you know, like you said, I love the interaction, the callback lines, you know, Cap to Bucky. Don't do anything stupid until I get back. Bucky, how can I? You're taking all the stupid with you. That's exactly what they said in First Avenger.
I love it.
Just switched roles. And then, And then Sam is like, he's talking to old Cap and he's like, you know, the only thing bumming me out is I have to live in a world without Captain America. And then Steve's like, oh, gives him the shield. Like, that's awesome.
Just to add quick, you know, as a married man, such the, you want to tell me about her? No, I like that. No, that was great. Yeah. That's just, that was awesome. Yeah. No, I don't think so.
Yeah. that's a great one. Brittany, do you have another honorable mention ready?
Yeah, I've got a couple. So, y'all know how much I love my girl Wanda Maximoff, Scarlet Witch. Yep. Like that she's a bad bitch, y'all. Like she bad. She bad. This was the turning point of her being bad. Like let's be real. And I love the fact that this movie, you know, while it's an Endgame title, right, it wasn't the end for a lot of other characters, right? They went on to have like their own successful shows on Disney Plus, right? Yep. And Wanda, when she is brought back and she lands in front of Thanos and you see that anger, that glare, you know, that, you know, you done fucked up kind of thing, she looks at Thanos and says, "You took everything from me." And he says, "I don't even know who you are." And then she's just like, "You will." And I mean, just that look, the tone, and setting that precedence of like, she is here for a reckoning. Like, and that to me was so cool, because obviously that would, you know, play out into what would be WandaVision and her idea of what, you know, was right and what she needed to do to avenge her love and, you know, what also would carry on to the multiverse of madness, you know, that line. And just her tone, Lizzie Olsen is giving masterclass at this moment, right? And she quickly became one of my favorites, right? And that whole interaction between her and Thanos and his, you know, "I don't even know who you are," and she's like, "You will, motherfucker," you know. So yeah, like that was super cool. That was super cool. That's definitely up there. I've got, like I said, I've got a couple of others, but Justin, I'm throwing it back
to you. So my next one, I alluded to it in my open, is Cap's time heist speech, which the time heist was obviously Ant-Man's idea, which I love the role that Ant-Man plays in this movie. And we can talk all about it. We can have a pod about him, how great he is, how great Paul Rudd's in this movie. But I want to talk about the Whatever It Takes speech. And I typed it all up and I'm going to read it to you because,
oh Lord, here we go.
This is such a great speech. And, you know, it starts out with, you hear the Avenger theme starting to swell, right? And that's Alan Silvestri's music is so awesome. His Avengers theme is like, it's like one of like the, like, it's like the Danny Elfman Batman from 89. Like, it's like, if you ever hear that music, you're like, that's the Avengers. Like that's like, everyone knows that's the Avengers song, right? Like it's just, it's such a touchstone.
Etched forever in time.
Yeah, it really is. And then as the music swells, Steve says, 5 years ago, we lost all of us. We lost friends. We lost family. We lost a part of ourselves. Today, we have a chance to take it all back. You know your teams. You know your missions. Get the stones. Get them back. One round trip each. No mistakes. No do-overs. Most of us are going somewhere we know, but that doesn't mean we should know what to expect. Be careful. Look out for each other. This is the fight of our lives, and we're going to win. Whatever it takes, good luck. And then Tony looks at Cap. Yeah. Tony looks at Cap with a smile, and as Drew just said, Rocket says, he's pretty good at that. And then Scott Lang just like, she's bad. Yeah, which is another callback to Cap's speech in, is it Winter Soldier? Yeah, because Sam's like, he's like, did you write that down first? Like, Cap gets on the mic, So what a moment. And again, this wasn't even in my top five, but in any other movie, it'd be number one.
Right.
So
I think of the... Real quick, to allude to that and the link of the MCU, I think about Guardians 1 and Star-Lord and Chris Pratt, you know, hey, we're all losers, you know, because we lost something, you know, we all lost something, you know, we've lost family, you know, and I was waiting for Cap to kind of the thing of, because in Guardians, like, you know, we can do something, we can give a shit, you know, kind of like Captain, we can do something about it. So the linking of those themes, but Cap's over here over Star-Lord. And, you know, it comes to inspirational speech. I mean, I'm ready to grab the hammer and shield and go fight some crime right now. I'm juiced. That is just, every time you hear that speech, it's like, yeah.
Yeah. Brittany, do you have another honorable mention?
I do. Didn't really talk a whole lot about some of these other characters, you know, because there's just so much to unpack with this movie. It's jam-packed with amazing characters, amazing actors portraying said characters. Hawkeye as Ronan. Can we talk about the haircut and just the badassness that is Clint Barton at this point? Oh, I mean, the event of the very beginning of this movie, his family, you know, turning to dust. He has no idea what's happening, and he's just like, he's out in the wind, or whatever that expression is, lost to the wind. And, you know, he is just gone rogue. He is, you know, killing all these people that have done terrible, terrible things.
Yep.
And the fact that Natasha has to like track him down and just basically tell him point blank, like, doing all this is not going to bring them back, but we have a plan, basically. And seeing that side of Jeremy Renner and seeing that side of Hawkeye, I was like, oh damn, he's got a nice ass. Like, you know, just like that kind of thing just like changed for me. And I was just like, oh, I think I like him a little bit more.
Not America's ass though. We already covered that.
No. I'm talking about just like him. And I was just like, I have a thing for like bad boys. Like, just, you know, they kind of, I don't know. It's just, it's hot. But anyway, I think the whole idea of Hawkeye being Ronin and the actions that he committed as such, and then playing into what happened in the role of Hawkeye, the whole storyline of the show Hawkeye. Again, this movie, you know, opening doors for the continuation of characters and other side stories and what have you, I think it was just incredible. So yeah, Hawkeye as Ronin was pretty cool. And others, of course, but yeah. Let's go back and forth.
Real quick. I have to add some coup de grace to yours. So I belong, you know, my love of sports cars and driving sports cars and stuff. So whenever either sports cars around the world or sports cars in London post a car and then they do the little dangle the key thing in a post to me, I always put the meme of Hawkeye. Don't do that. Don't give me hope. Just so you know, I carry that on. I post that picture and that meme when they dangle the keys in front of me. Don't do that. Don't give me hope.
That's awesome.
So thank you for sharing. That's awesome, Brittany.
Brittany, speaking of that, Hawkeye is Ronin, and I hope that Marcy's still watching right now, because the guy that he kills in Tokyo is the actor who plays Torunaga in Shogun, who's the star of Shogun, which I'm the finale aired this week and I'm 5 episodes behind, so I'm only halfway through.
Listen, but, the guys were talking about it today.
Yeah. Well, I'm gonna get caught up. I've been watching Endgame. That's why I can't watch Shogun, because I've been watching my favorite movie over and over and over. But no, it is interesting to see that actor, because he's been in so many things. Mortal Kombat. He's been in
John Wick.
He's been in John Wick. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think the first time I didn't even really notice who he was, and now it's like, oh, that's the star of Shogun. And that's the guy that
he's been in so many things.
Yeah, he's been in a ton of stuff. Mm. My final honorable mention. I want to talk about the credits. The credits are so well done.
Yeah.
And there's, I mean, like I said, almost every actor in Hollywood was in this movie in some form or fashion. But I want to focus on the original 6 Avengers. They get their due. They get the splash screen with their action behind them, and they get like a silhouetted character with their autograph.
Yep.
Which Kevin Feige, in that book that I keep referencing, Kevin Feige said that in one of the Star Trek movies, because he was a Star Trek fan as a kid, they did that at the end of one of the movies, and he's like, we need to do that in the Marvel movie. And so I really enjoy that touch. And then, of course, if you sit through the entire credits, there's no mid-credit scene. There's no post-credit scene. However, at the very end, the final thing you hear in Avengers Endgame is Tony Stark banging on that metal in the cave from the first movie. Like, that is like perfect. That is just, they just like did everything right. Every single minute detail, just nailed it. No notes. What a movie.
Yeah. You should have let me finish my honorable mentions. That would have been a great way to, you know, end the show. I don't even want to talk about mine anymore.
I've got one other thing to talk about, but go ahead.
Okay. Okay. Damn. Yeah. I don't know how to follow that act right there. Justin. Justin. Good God.
I love this movie.
I know you do. We all do. Okay. So we've talked about, you know, big name characters, what have you. We kind of, you know, touch here and there about other characters. Let's talk about other ways that Thanos could have been eliminated, according to some of these Avengers and Rhodey. Deadpan, just like, hey, he goes, what if we just like go back in time to like little Thanos and we just, you know.
That's horrible.
Okay. But is he wrong, though?
He's not wrong.
He's not. It's yeah.
Banner. That's horrible.
Do y'all now understand why I don't have children?
Because one might grow up to be Thanos. Is that the reason?
I mean, no. I'll be Thanos. What are you talking about? I'll be Thanos. Okay. Like, I'll be the greatest villain that ever existed.
Snap half our kids away.
It's not the first time I've done that and eliminated people. Let's just be real. I think that was just so funny, because obviously there's this debate about just movie logic of time travel, and you know how when you go back in time, then that becomes your present,
your
present, you know, is now your past, and like and it's hard to follow. And so, you know, but for Rhodey to be like, you know, why don't we just like go all the way back and just, you know, rope his, you know, little head and then pull. Yeah, because that would have been my logic too. That honestly, yeah, it just choke him out.
And to quote Scott Lang, so what you're telling me is all that Back to the Future is bullshit?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a great moment where they mention all the movies that have time
movies. Oh, Die Hard. Yeah. Oh, wait, that's not one.
That's not one of them. Yeah.
But Die Hard is a Christmas movie.
It is.
Die Hard is a Christmas movie. But he does mention,
remember, he does say Die Hard, and that lets you live on. You go, Die Hard. Oh, that's not a time travel movie. But yep.
Yeah.
Yep. I have a Nakatomi Christmas Party 1988 shirt. I'll wear it sometime on a podcast when I'm invited back.
Maybe we'll do it in her anniversary for Die Hard.
There we go.
Lord.
Sticking with some quick comedy moments. I love at the beginning of the movie when Tony's playing paper football with Nebula. Like, I just love like those two characters, the odd pairing. Yeah. He's like, that is a goal. You did a good, yeah.
Yeah. And now you have won.
Yeah.
This is fun. I like the way she said, this is fun.
Right.
She's like, I would like to try again.
Yeah. Yes. And then speaking of playing games, when Smart Hulk and Rocket go to visit Thor, Bro Thor, by the way, they're at his house.
Bro Thor, that's right.
The great Thorbowski.
That's a banger.
His buddies Korg and Meek are playing. They're playing Fortnite, and Korg has to alert to. Yeah. He's back. He's like, Noob Master 69's back. And Thor gets on the mic and gets on the headset. And he's like,
Noob Master?
Yeah. I will rip your arms off and shove them up your butt. Yeah. And I just love how like Taika Waititi plays Korg, because he's like, thank you very much. Yeah, he takes it back. Thor's like, if he ever does that again, tell me. He's like, I will. Thank you very much. It's so funny. Love that stuff. And sticking with Thor. You know, let's talk about how the movie begins. This might be the last thing we want to talk about, but
he got one more honorable mention.
Okay. You'll do your, this is my last one. Thor, you know, in the previous movie, Thor almost saves the day if he just gone for the head. In this movie, he goes for the head, but it's too late. He chopped off the arm, but the arm doesn't have the stones are destroyed. Thanos destroyed the stones. Thor then chops off his head and he gets nothing out of it. And then we get the 5 years later, which I remember the first time I saw that. It was like 5 years. Like that's because like the movie starts so fast. You're like, they're going after Thanos. And it's like, they killed Thanos in the first 15 minutes or whatever, 20 minutes of the movie. And then 5 years later, and you're just like, oh my gosh, what a ride this movie is going to be. And it's been a hell of a ride. Brittany, what is your other honorable mention?
I got to talk about my other girl, Natasha Romanoff. Like she's, you know, she's got some deadpan funny moments and in the beginning. And so this is another twofer, and it's the end of it. We could keep going on and on and on, but we're not going to. Natasha is having a meeting of the minds, her little small council, if you will. All these other Avengers are scattered out throughout the globe. And she's talking with Okoye, who's referring to a gravity disturbance that's happening over in her region. And she says, it turned out to be a subduction under the Pacific Plate. Natasha says, so how are we handling it? Okoye, an earthquake under the ocean. We handle it by not handling it. Like, you know, it's just kind of like,
yeah.
And I know a lot of people kind of thought, oh, maybe that's like a hint towards Namor, or as I like to refer to him as Kukulkan.
You had to get it in, didn't you? You had to get
you did great. That was awesome. Sweet.
I had to do it. Listen,
you know, I love that movie. So awesome.
Mi gente, y'all. I gotta do it for my people.
Awesome. So, absolutely.
That being said, you know, just the interaction that Natasha is having with like her fellow Avengers, she's got, you know, just some one-liners in talking to Cap when he enters and threatens to throw her sandwich at him because but the one that I absolutely love is when Scott Lang, you know, knocks on the door, rings the doorbell, whatever, and he asks anyone, have any of you guys studied quantum mechanics? And she's like, only in conversation. Yeah. Like, you know, just like,
yeah, only to make conversation. Yeah.
Only to make conversation. It's just like, oh my God, like, who does that? And she would, you know, she's brilliant. She's a master assassin, master spy, you know, that kind of thing. And it's just like, yeah, she would be the one to know a little bit about everything.
Quantum mechanics. Yep.
Yeah. Quantum physics, quantum mechanics, you know, you name it, she's going to know something about it. But her also being the brilliant mind amongst geniuses, if you will, to pinpoint that in 1 year, there were 3 stones in the same city in the same year.
Shut the front door.
So good. And, you know, while Natasha's death didn't impact me as much as it may have, you know, with y'all, her significance in the Avengers and being kind of like either the voice of reason or just, you know, kind of outsmarting people without meaning to, she's iconic. She's absolutely iconic. And I think Scarlett Johansson just did a fabulous job portraying her.
Absolutely. Homage. Yeah. Homage.
She, you know, begins the movie as the leader of the Avengers because she's the one who's still keeping up with it. And even Steve tells her, like, maybe this doesn't need to be done. This job doesn't need to be done anymore. But
And then with her hair, like her hair, like why is it blonde? You know, not blonde, but like red, and you know, like it's growing back out and what have you. And then you kind of throw it all the way back to, like just what was happening before Infinity War. You know, to give what we got her movie. I can talk, guys. I swear to God, I can talk. Black Widow. Led up to, you know, Black, Infinity War, and then. Whatever. But then you see that she's, you know, grown out her hair, you know, and you're getting that wonderful red color. I was like, ooh, I want to dye my hair like that. But that means bleaching, and that's just a lot of work. And never mind. Anyway, shout out to my girl, Natasha Romanoff, a.k.a. Black Widow, a.k.a. Sexy.
Yep. No, and, you know, that's a good way to end it because there's so many moments. We gave our top 5 and more. Mm-hmm. This movie, we could talk about it for days if we wanted to, but we're not going to. But we would like to, we gave you our top 5, so we want to know what your top 5 is. So please let us know in the comment section below. Or Brittany, honestly, I'm just kind of stepping on your stuff. How can people let us know what they think about Avengers Endgame and their top 5 and what's the greatest superhero movie and all that good stuff?
Do you see what I'm about to do here, Justin? Because you're stepping on my territory. Yeah. I'm about to snap my fingers for you to dissolve into dust. No, I'm just kidding. Honestly, guys, we always encourage everyone to join us here in the live chat as we do these live streams. It's so much fun. And to have guests such as Drew here to share his thoughts as well has always been a joy. So thank you so, so much, Drew, for joining us. Shout out to those in the chat, y'all. King B. Johnson. We also had Travis Mitchell. Our girl Marcy was also in the chat. Appreciate you so much being here. And we've been able to share some of y'all's comments, but if you're watching this on the replay or listening to us on the audio podcast, head over to our social media to follow us there on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Threads at Watchers Basement. And you can also chat with us by using the hashtag Watchers Basement. 1, it helps grow our audience. 2, it's the fastest way for us to find anything and everything that you want us to check out. If it's memes, articles, things that you want us to check out, you know, to watch and give our opinion about, let us know. Lastly, as I mentioned, we have audio podcasts available to you on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Follow us on those platforms. Give us a 5-star rating. And if I haven't already done so already, follow us here on YouTube. We're on the road to 300 subscribers. So help us make that happen. Don't forget to like this video as well as hit that notification bell. That way, you know, the next time we are going to do a live stream, and that will be coming up shortly to discuss the latest episode of X-Men 97.
That's correct. Thank you, Brittany. Appreciate it. Drew, it's always great to have you. I'm going to give you the last word.
Sure.
Just say whatever you want to say.
So once again, thank you, my friends. You're my friends. You're my family. I love you guys. You keep me connected. You guys are the best. And you know, I'm in the chat when I can't be on. But just thank you so much. This is a true honor. Talk about a great movie with great people. I hit up 43 people today. I think you're close to 300. I asked. You only need 4 more likes on YouTube. So I hope we get there tonight. So my friends, my family, I reached out to you. Please do this for them. And for us, and for the sake of the universe, you know, all I'm going to say is we assembled and we kicked some ass. So thank you, my friends.
I could not have said it better myself. Thank you, Drew. It's always great to have you. Very much appreciate you as our friend and just joining for the shows and everything. Always being so supportive. It's awesome. We love you 3000. So
awesome. Well done.
Very much appreciate you. So thanks to Drew. Thanks to Brittany. And I'm Justin saying thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. We will see you next time. Goodbye.
Nice.